the Aaronic priesthood.
There are only two things you need really to know about the priesthood. They're up here on the board. The work of the priesthood constitutes sacrifice and blessing. Sacrifice and blessing. And of course, the sacrifice comes first. Now, what is the interest that we have in the priesthood? It's becoming a part of the priesthood, that of which the priesthood of Aaron is a type. And in connection with that, we have our opportunities to talk to people. And there are still people who are glad to hear. And I'm just going to share a couple of things from the fair booth that sort of illustrates what it is that we're trying to do in our training. This one young girl comes up all happy and cheery, and she says, after reading several of your booklets, I became a Christian. Oh, yes, and then there was a fellow who reaches into his pocket and works out of his pocket a pretty well tattered Bible, and he says, when a man's Bible is falling apart, his life isn't. Now, we're talking about the Aaronic priesthood. No, it's not the Aaronic priesthood. It's the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron. Aaron was the son of Amram. We read about this in Exodus, the sixth chapter. And in between Exodus chapter 6 and 1 Chronicles, first chapter through the first verse of the next chapter, we find that Aaron was the son of Amram, who was the son of Kohath, who was the son of Levi, and he traces back to Noah, and he traces back to Adam. So we have the genealogy. And when Moses and Aaron spoke to Pharaoh, we learn that Aaron was 83 years old. That's in Exodus 7:7. And it was about 40 years later that he died on Mount Hor. What's Mount Hor? All we know is it speaks of the Horites on Mount Seir. The archaeologists call them Hurrians. But enough of that. That's in Numbers, the 20th chapter, and Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Now, the priesthood has two works to accomplish, sacrifice and blessing. The sacrifice comes first, then the blessing. According to our flesh, it'd be a lot more convenient if it were the other way around, wouldn't it? But we must first sacrifice before we can be a part of doing the blessing. We learn a few things from Leviticus, the eighth chapter. Leviticus 8 is the consecration of the priesthood. Now, there's another eighth chapter, too, that's of interest along that line. That's in Numbers chapter 8, and that shows the consecration of the Levites. And the consecration of the priesthood came first, and the consecration of the Levites came afterwards, and then the Levites were given to the priesthood for service in the tabernacle. And we can see in that a foreshadow of, first, the little flock, the bride of Christ, the 144,000, the priesthood of the coming age is first completed and resurrected. Afterwards, the great multitude will be resurrected and given to the priesthood for service in the coming age. Who were consecrated? Aaron and his sons. In this shadow, we have a differentiation between Aaron and the sons. In most pictures, we don't see the Christ and the church pictured in a father-son relationship. This is the one picture where we do. In most pictures, it will be as the bride of Christ, as the elder brother and the younger brethren. In some cases, it will be pictured as the king and his armies. But here it is a little different. In Leviticus 8, verse 5, it says, Jehovah hath commanded. And that's where we are starting the consecration of the priesthood, with Jehovah hath commanded. And we know it was not done by an oath, but by a command that the priesthood of Aaron was initiated. And we drop down to verse 33. He shall consecrate you 7 days. What's the significance of he shall consecrate you 7 days? Well, that would show us that the gospel age is divided up into 7 periods of time. I think, as has been noted at various times, the word seven in Hebrew, spelled Sheba, pronounced Sheva, a lot like our word seven, has two meanings. The one meaning is the number seven, and the other is an oath. So where we see seven in the Bible, connect it with God's oath-bound covenant. The first promise, not by oath to Abraham, was in thee. He says in thee because Isaac wasn't yet born. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And accurately translated, 10 chapters later, when God swears with an oath, he says, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth bless themselves. So there will be both, in time to come, blessing from heaven to earth, and people will bless one another. So he will consecrate you in 7 days. And then we get to Leviticus chapter 9. It comes right afterwards. On the 8th day, the very next day, after the sacrificing is done for the priesthood in the 7 days, then in chapter 9, it's making atonement and blessing the people. Now, let's keep in mind where we're going in all of this, that we should be concentrating on doing the sacrifice so that we'll be a part of the blessing in the time to come. Now, we can get an idea of what it was like if the priesthood were doing what it should be doing. There's a fellow that will come and he will say, now, Mr. Cohen, I've done my neighbor wrong, but I just feel that I can't go to him and apologize or to try to make it up to him. He may get very angry with me. And well, now, Shlomo, you got to realize that you need to apologize and make good on that to the extent you can. After all, you can swallow your pride. It's non-fattening. But another fellow will come and say, now, Mr. Cohen, I feel awfully depressed. What am I going to do? Well, now, Shmuel, tell me, what have you done for Ray over there? What have you done for Olga? What have you done for Coretta? Oh, I haven't done anything for them. Okay, now I'll tell you what you do. You go to do something for Ray, you go do something for Olga, you go do something for Coretta, and then I will tell you what you need to do to be happy. And you come back tomorrow. Well, he doesn't come back tomorrow. He doesn't come back the next week. 3 weeks later, they happen to meet on the street. Well, Shmuel, how did things go? I did what you told me to. The same day, I did something for Ray, and I did something for Olga, and I did something for Coretta. Well, why didn't you come tell me about it? Well, I wasn't depressed anymore, so I didn't need your services. And the priest will have gotten his point across that way. A part of the blessing is not just to say, okay, the Lord bless you, but There's teaching involved. There's counseling. There's encouragement involved. This is all part of the work of the priesthood. We go back to Leviticus 9, which was on the eighth day, picture of the millennial conditions. And there's a reflection back to the sacrificing of the gospel age. In verse 6, it already tells us that the glory of Jehovah shall appear unto you. Now, this is something we didn't see before, and we don't see it in Leviticus 16th chapter. But here, after the sacrificing is over, the glory of Jehovah shall appear unto you. And so in verse 22, it says, Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people, and he blessed them. And we come in verse 23. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of Jehovah appeared unto all the people. Is there a little difference between verse 22 and verse 23? Yes. In verse 22, Aaron is the one who lifts up his hands toward the people and blessed them. After the sacrificing is over, Aaron comes and blesses the people. The sacrifice is during the gospel age until the last member of the church has been trained and finishes his course, dies and is resurrected. And then, in the millennial kingdom, Aaron, the real Aaron, of which Aaron is a type, that is, Jesus Christ, will indeed bless the people together with his church. But then, it says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. Okay, they disappear. We call that time the little season. They disappear for a little season. And then they came out and blessed the people. Both of them come out and bless the people. That is to say, we have the blessing of Aaron, the blessing of the Christ during the thousand-year kingdom of Christ. Then they interrupt for a short time, a little season, and then Moses and Aaron come out and bless the people. That is to say, God and the Christ class will bless the people. God doesn't participate in the first time because in the millennial kingdom, Christ will not yet have turned over the kingdom to the Father. But when he does, everyone will have been thoroughly tested by the final exam of Satan's little season. No one will ever again have any willingness even to consider sin. God's word will be perfect as done through Christ and the church. And then the glory of Jehovah appeared unto all the people. Imagine how glorious it will be after the 1,000 years. That's a remedial period. After the little season, when the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Got rid of Satan, too. That's all in the past, never again to be repeated. Now, just a minor thing here. In verse 2, he says unto Aaron, take thee a calf of the Lord for a sin offering. And then in verse 3, unto the sons of Israel, take ye a he-goat for a sin offering. Christ's merit is offered in two stages. It is offered first for the church and afterwards for the world. Now, chapter 8, the consecration of the priesthood is never repeated. But the high priesthood was passed down from generation to generation. As the scripture says, I think it's Numbers 20, 26, strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there at Mount Hor. The eighth day, Atonement Day, was never repeated. But the Tishri, the tenth day, Atonement Day, was instituted, and it was repeated annually, every year, and yet without the blessing of the people. For in the 16th chapter, we're shown only the gospel age phase of it, and that is the period of sacrifice, which must precede the blessing of all the families of the earth. Question is, how are we doing with our sacrifice? As some have pointed out, the trouble with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. There are the two things that each of us needs to remember about the work of the priesthood. Sacrifice and blessing. The sacrifice comes first, and if we are faithful, then will we be a part of the blessing phase. A part of the blessing during the thousand-year kingdom of Christ, that will be to lift people back up to perfection. It will not be a time of perfection. It will be a time of bringing people back to perfection. It is a remedial work. We're shown this in the Feast of the Tabernacles. Last chapter of Zechariah tells us that the tabernacles, or Feast of Tabernacles, is a temporary condition. It's the millennial age condition. They were to build a booth, and they were to live in it 7 days, and on the seventh day they were to tear it back down again. It is not the final condition. Technically, it is not even the period that we pray for when we are told to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." For that we are praying for the kingdom of God, which follows after the little season and continues on and on and on and on that way. So the lesson is, the priesthood is perfected first, and then we bring the new covenant into operation for the world. And now we will hear about the Melchizedek priesthood from Richard Doctor, wherever he may be at the moment.